Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
The Flames Insider, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Varsity's holy truck sale, featuring the 2014 Ram 1500, starting at $19,997. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
8:03, time for a little Flames Insider. The voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, upstairs last night watching one half of the split squads that took place between the Flames and the Oilers. I would say the stronger of the two lineups was iced at the Dome yesterday, Mr. Wills. The name John Gaudreau, I know it's easy and it's what fans wanted to see. He has yet to disappoint. Now, he did not really get on the score sheet yesterday, but again, on any number of occasions, comes with a shift or a move or a shake that gets people energized. And I know you and Lou were saying last night, you can almost feel it in the building when he touches the puck.
Oh, you could hear the volume at Scotiabank Saddledome rise when the puck even came near Johnny Hockey. And he didn't produce any points last night, but he did have four shots on goal, stole the puck a couple of times as well. And there was one play that really jumped out at us. The puck was in a skates in the neutral zone. And instead of it getting stuck in there, he just made a nice little kick pass and actually led to a scoring chance. So he might not have got on the score sheet last night, but you could see that he has the potential to be a pretty special player.
He played the majority of the evening with Joe Colburn down the middle. Now, he, I guess, started in the NHL as a centerman, then was moved to the wing last year by the Flames. Back to the middle with he and Gaudreau and Devin Setoguchi. I guess your thoughts on these three, size, speed, skill, it has everything.
Bit of a slow start for Devin Setoguchi, but we thought he picked it up in the second half of the hockey game and actually had a couple of decent chances. Unfortunately, he got injured late in the game. Looked like a knee on knee, and the Flames were not at all happy with the Oilers bench about that one. Now, Setoguchi did get up and head to the dressing room under his own power, so hopefully he's okay. As for Joe Colburn, we saw what we expected to see from him. He skated well. He had a couple of nice body checks, and he took the puck to the net pretty hard. So I think that that extra weight, that extra muscle that he put on during the offseason could really help him this year.
Yeah. Now, I guess before we go further on Colburn, the Setoguchi hit, what did you make of that? Because I know some people on the text line this morning feel like it was deliberate and it was intentional and should have been a penalty. What did you see from it?
I'd like to take another look at it, to be honest with you. It looked a little inadvertent when I saw it the first time, but sometimes when you slow those hits down, they look a little bit more deliberate. So I don't want to pass judgment before I take another look at it, but I know the Flames weren't happy and the fans weren't happy.
Yeah, and it should go really with no surprise. Two of the best players on the evening were two of the Flames' best players from a year ago. Both Sean Monahan and TJ Brody had impressive nights.
And you can add Mark Giordano to that list as well.
As always, right? Yeah.
And those were the three stars last night, and for good reason. I mean, when you take a look at Sean Monahan, to me, he was the best player on the ice for either team. And he didn't even produce a point, but he had five shots on goal, missed the net a few times. He had three takeaways, won 65% of his draws. And he was all over the ice last night. He was just terrific. TJ Brody scored an absolutely gorgeous goal. And when you watch the guy shoot the puck, it really is hard to believe. He only scored seven goals last season. I actually asked Peter and Pat on the postgame show last night if they could imagine him doubling his goal total this year. I really could see it happening. If he doesn't get 14 goals, maybe he gets somewhere between 7 and 14 goals, but a great shot. And the captain, he was terrific as always. Led the team in time on ice and just did those little things so well. And you know what? You look at Brody and how far he's come along, and you wonder how much of that progress is due to his defense partner, Giordano.
What have you heard on Sam Bennett there, Derek, given it's now a week today since the injury that knocked him out of the Young Stars tournament?
We haven't heard much. I think they're just taking their time with Sam Bennett. It's September, guys. I mean, there's no need to rush this kid back. Those groin injuries can really linger if you don't let them heal to 100%. So we've got some time. There are still seven more preseason games to be played. We know that If they like him, they can keep him here for the first 9 games of the regular season. And then if they decide to, they can still send him back to junior. So there's no point rushing Sam Bennett back right now. We'll probably have a better idea of where he's at today. 2 practices, 2 scrimmages set to take place at Winsport this morning. So if we don't see him on the ice, then he's probably not close. But if he's out there, even if he's skating on his own, that certainly would be a good sign.
Garnet Hathaway is a name we continue to say that I don't think anyone, that was not on the tip of their tongues months ago. How's his prospects camp now into the preseason gone in your mind?
I was joking last night on the postgame show that Peter Labardius has a man crush on Garnet Hathaway, and for good reason. He has been impressive, and he's one of those guys who has been a surprise, I think. We were wondering which guys would surprise us at the Young Stars Classic in that game against the UFC Dinos and now in NHL preseason games. And I think Garnet Hathaway is a guy who, down the road, could become an NHL player. The question is, what do they do with him this year? Do they send him back to junior? Do they send him to the American Hockey League? And we had Ryan Husk on the postgame show last night, and he may have tipped his hat because he mentioned a couple of guys and trying to get a read on them, so that he knows what these guys are going to give him day in, day out as a member of the Adirondack Flames. He mentioned 2 names, Josh Juris, who we assume will be there, and Garnet Hathaway. So maybe they think he's ready to turn pro, but like I said, still a bunch of preseason games to play. So that decision will probably become final at some point in time down the road here.
Derek Wills, voice of the Flames, joining us here for Varsity Chrysler. I guess if you can, and beyond that, there's not many of them, like you say, but Garnet Hathaway was one. Of the others, or maybe even throw Derek Englund, maybe surprising he had an A on his chest. You know what, let's go there, because I think a lot of people look at the salary that he's making and made their decision up that he was going to be, just was not going to be what they wanted. What were your thoughts in limited action last night?
I thought he played a good, solid game last night, and he made smart decisions. He's a guy who is big and strong and who plays a tough style of hockey, but he doesn't take a lot of penalties, which, again, proves that he's a smart hockey player. I thought he was good last night. He wasn't a guy who really stood out to us, but that's not a bad thing. He's a defensive defenseman, made good first passes out of the defensive zone, and got the puck up to the forwards. And to me, that's the main job of these guys. There are so many talented forwards in the organization. You got to get them the puck and let them do their thing. And the other guy that really stood out to me last night was Brett Kulak. And here's a guy who played pretty well at the Young Stars Classic, but I wouldn't say he was one of the top 2 or 3 defensemen on the Flames, but now watching him last night play with some better players, we thought that he had a good game. So Kulak's a guy to keep an eye on, a guy that I think's got some potential down the road to be an NHL hockey player.
Any idea now going forward when the first round of although I guess if you don't include Roy back to Brandon.
Machina.
Yeah, if you don't include that, I guess the first round of cuts, any idea when we might see that come out?
No, we were wondering about that last night, guys. We thought they may have kept 62 players on the roster because they had a split squad game last night, and we presumed they would make some cuts either last night or this morning, but nothing's come down the pipeline yet. Now, keep in mind, they've got a really busy week. 3 games in 3 days, 4 games in 5 days, so they're going to have to keep a bunch of extra bodies around. The question is, do they need 62? Now, there are some injuries right now, so that knocks that number down into the high 50s, but you would think some cuts are coming soon, but like I said, we haven't heard anything yet.
Aside from Bennett, who are some of the injured Flames right now?
Well, right now, Kari Ramo's a little nicked up, but I don't think it's anything serious. I'm pretty sure he could play if he had to play, and you know, he's a guy, obviously, that we assume will be the either number 2 or number 1B goaltender on this team with Jonas Hiller coming in. And, of course, the big injury is Michael Backlund. And you wonder how long he's going to be out. You wonder if he's out a little bit longer term, who's going to take his spot in the lineup, because there are so many guys down the middle that I think will be competing for that spot. And it's great to see all this competition, because that's one thing that the Flames have stressed from day one, is that they want competition. They want competition at practice. They want competition in preseason games. And we're getting that. And I think that the guys who are competing for these spots, their eyes are going to really widen when they see they have an opportunity to actually start the season with this hockey team. There aren't many spots up for grabs, but there are some spots up for grabs, and I think that healthy competition is why the intensity level has been so high from day one of training camp.
And I know, obviously, you had your eyes on the game at the Dome last night. I'm sitting in my kitchen with both of them streaming on computers watching. You talk about how there are limited spots available. Rafael Diaz is up for maybe one of them. Sounds like he had an all right night in Edmonton. I don't necessarily expect you to chime in on that, but what have you heard about, the expectations or just how realistic you feel his shot might be at getting a long look?
Well, I think that there's potential that he could be one of the seven defensemen on this hockey team when the season starts. Being in the Montreal Canadiens organization for the last 13 years, I had a chance to watch Rafael Diaz play. And to be honest, I'm surprised that he has bounced around as much as he has. He's a good puck-moving defenseman, and I think he's certainly an NHL defenseman. So the fact that they've got him here on a tryout to fighting for a contract, I think is fantastic. Again, just adds to that competition level. And also don't forget Tyler Wotherspoon, who I think is probably ready to be an NHLer, is injured right now. I didn't mention him in those list of injured guys, but he's out right now as well. So maybe Diaz is able to take the spot that would have been his to start the season. But looked like he had a pretty good game on the stat sheet with five shots last night and four blocks. So a pretty good start for Diaz. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in a Flames jersey with my own two eyes.
Yeah. And one of the guys he'd be up against, you did see last night, Sheldon Brookbank. I know he had the one nice play where he dropped down and kind of took away a two-on-one chance for the Oilers. I know this is so hard, Derek, because it's one game and there's so many players and we're trying to get a read on all of them. But anything specific about Brookbank? Did he look? Did he stand out? Look out of place to you?
Well, he didn't stand out, but then again, he didn't look out of place. So I would say that he had a decent hockey game. Did his job. He's a big, strong guy, and he's got a lot of games under his belt. And I think he can help this organization some way, somehow, as a depth guy. And if they can somehow, let's say they don't have room for him here in Calgary. If they can somehow convince him to take a two-way contract and go down to Adirondack, I think he can help the Flames develop prospects. I think that if they had to call a guy up, he'd be a good guy to call up. And he's a guy who's proven over the years that he can contribute at this level, and I think he'd be a terrific player at the AHL level. Not that I want to write him off as an NHLer right now, but it looks like there are a lot of guys in defense that are fighting for seven spots, and it's going to be tough to make the team, but we'll have to wait and see what happens with him and what other options he has, if there are other options moving forward.
Tell me a bit about Max Reiner, because you would have seen quite a bit of this guy in terms of his rookie year in the American Hockey League. Last year, he takes a step with Abbotsford, and now last night, a guy, as you mentioned, with Backlund down that can play the middle. What did you make of Reinhardt's game?
I love Max Reinhardt. There were two guys who I really loved in Abbotsford last year, Max Reinhardt and Marcus Granlund, and for different reasons. Granlund's that skill guy, and Reinhardt has some skill, but he has some grit, and he's got a great motor, and he made a heck of a pass on the only goal of the game last night, found a seam, perfect pass over to Brody to set up that 1-0 goal, and Reinhardt is one of those guys competing for spots, and, the way things look right now, he probably starts the season with the Adirondack Flames, but you just never know, and that's what's so exciting about these preseason games is guys have an opportunity to impress management, to impress coaches, and to try to win a spot on this team. And, if he does end up going down to the AHL, I'm not sure he'd spend the whole season there. I think this guy is ready to get a taste of life in the National Hockey League. And as Brad Treliving has said time and time again, not many players have been overcooked in the American Hockey League. So if he were to go down and continue to play the way he's played for the last year plus, he's going to continue to build confidence. He's going to continue to develop his overall game. And I really, truly believe this kid's going to play in the NHL for a long, long time. And like you said, I had a chance to see him play a bunch with the Abbotsford Heat last season, and he impressed me in every single game that he played in against the Hamilton Bulldogs. So I'm a huge fan of Max Reinhardt, and I think there's big things to come for this kid.
Derek, thanks for your time, man. I know you'll be over at practice today and then getting set for the big one coming up in Sylvan Lake. Have you ever been to Sylvan Lake?
I have not, but I hear it's a beautiful part of the country, so looking forward to Kraft Hockeyville.
You're going to love it. Thanks, Derek. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
There it is. Derek Wills, Voice of the Flames, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Varsity's Holy Truck Sale. See what they did there? Holy Truck Sale.
Watch out now, Boom.
Yeah. 2014 Ram 1500 starting at $19,997. Go to VarsityChrysler.com and shop where Geo shops. I know the starting to see some of the teams. I know the Leafs made a round of cuts this morning. 10, 12 guys have been sent. I wonder, is it today? Is it tomorrow? And it's one split squad game. But from here on out, I would think, as from an evaluation standpoint, you'd like to start to trim your numbers a little bit. You never want to be the first cut. But at the same time, for the team itself, it's a lot of bodies.
Yeah, and the injury thing that Derek mentioned, Poirier, Backlund, Rammel, Wotherspoon, Potter, those are the guys, yeah. MIA, and I wonder how that affects decisions. Tough to measure any of those guys against their competition, especially a guy like Potter, who, you know, here's a guy that has spent time in the NHL on the blue line, and the more we hear about Rafael Diaz playing well, that might be your number seven. Wotherspoon starts in the A,
yeah,
and you go from there. And it's interesting. You look, if they start the season and all the one-way contracts and all the veterans make this team, there's going to be guys very ready and working hard to get up. So injuries,
yeah,
or just solid play forcing trades, this team's in a position it has not been in years past. Guys knocking on the door.
19 after 8, we'll come back with Oktoberfest.
Oh, baby.
I will apologize right up front. There will be no Oompa band. I know. And I blame it all on DeForest.
I wanted tubas, Jason.
I blame it all on Jason DeForest because he set it up and they said, well, do you want the band? And he said, well, no, thanks. We don't need the band.
How do you Heisman an Oompa
band?
Are
you new to the show? More than anything, we need the Oompa band.
The band can't come in anyway. They have to leave.
Well, with that attitude, Jason, maybe they will.
Well, I think they probably made their plans knowing that we didn't want them. And now there's no Oompa band in here, and I'm blaming you.
I just told the girl we didn't want the band before. This wasn't like 2 weeks ago. No, we don't want the band.
You hate Oompa bands.
Stop hating Oompa bands.
We'll talk Oktoberfest next. Sports at 960, The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Monday morning, 8:26. A little warrant for the kids. I know you're a big warrant fan.
Massive.
Yeah.
I celebrate their entire catalog.
Yeah,
was it three or four songs?
Yeah, I know. Stop it. This is the Down Boys, I believe. This would be the Down Boys from their Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinkin' Rich album.
Okay.
You can write that down.
Yeah.
iTunes later. Very pleased to be joined. We have more guests in studio. We got a lot of guests now. Do you notice that? Since we moved to the new place, we got guests, and one of them wearing a dress.
No!
Yep. I'll let you decide whom. Travis and Bonnie are here. It's Oktoberfest, right?
Yeah! It is Oktoberfest.
And one of you is wearing a dress.
Yeah. It's
fantastic.
It's Travis.
Yes. This one's kind of sneaky, right? Because everybody does St. Patrick's Day and there's long weekends and that. This one's sneaky good if you do it right.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it's coming up quick. It's already next weekend, September 26th and 27th.
Oktoberfest.
Gotta pay attention. Make your plans because okay, so what are we going to do? We take care of it for you because you want the whole experience, music, environment, food, and probably some beer along the way.
Lots of beer along the way, definitely.
This is a lot about beer because I was looking here at because we do have a lot of breweries here in Calgary, the microbrews and all of that, and I can't go through that entire list because we'd be here till 9 o'clock. But when you come to Oktoberfest, you're going to be able to sample hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of types of beers, literally on one floor.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have just over at the BMO Center. So you come in, you buy some tokens, and walk around and sample the beers just around the floor. We also have 12 participating restaurants throughout the city. And then we also have casks. So we have 3 casks per night.
So tell me what this is about. Tell me, just get me up to speed with this.
For the casks?
Yeah, yeah.
What we're doing tonight is with Wild Rose.
Yeah.
Wild Rose will be Friday night. But otherwise, with the 6 casks, it's beers that you will not get anywhere else. So it's just kind of an individual cask that they're setting up.
Yeah.
That they'll be tapping.
The food is great, and it's a lot of sausage. Are we eating a lot of sausage? Is that what we're doing?
Schnitzel,
some schnitzel, or because I know I've been to Wurst, and then next thing you know, I'm eating a big turkey leg or something. It's like a stuffed turkey something or other. The food is unique as well, right?
The food is unique, yes. We will be having quite a bit of German food available also for tokens. And so we're really excited about it.
Yeah. The BMO Center. Now, this is somewhat similar for people, and I think probably a lot of our listeners have been to Beer Fest before. Kind of similar in a setup, right? Where you get in, pay your admission, and then you're free to sample as you wish.
Yeah, exactly. So as soon as you walk in, you will be getting a sample cup, and then that's yours to take home at the end of the day. And then just walking around from booth to booth.
How long does it take to coordinate this? Because I would think if I'm a brewery or a restaurant, okay, this is my wheelhouse. I need to get in on this. Is this a year-long setup kind of a thing, I would guess?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, I'll ask a different question. So the website is Calgary Oktoberfest. Now, we need to spell that one with a K for the Oktoberfest.com. Tickets are cheap, right? What are we talking
about? Yeah. So, and you can also, AlbertaBeerFestivals.com as well.
Yeah.
Tickets are $19 in advance online and at any Brewsters around town. And then you can also get tickets at the door.
We definitely encourage people to get their tickets ahead of time because it is subject to capacity, and we're expecting a lot of people this year.
I was stunned how many people you guys had in for your beer fest this summer. In one day, because you had, I think, three halls at the BMO Center open. I was lucky enough to do some judging, and was on best behavior, by the way. Mm-hmm. But how many people did you get through in a day at that one, and how does this compare in terms of compare contrast the two events?
So last we got to 10,000 through in one day last year.
Party. Right? 10,000 people.
Yeah.
10,000.
This city. Yeah.
Beer enthusiasts.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're proud of the city for that.
I would think so, Yeah, there's enough of them out there.
And this one's growing. This is because this is the newer of the two events, if I'm correct.
Yeah, it is. So it's definitely growing. It's getting bigger each year.
Year two? That's year two. Right on.
Calgary Oktoberfest on Facebook. If you want to find it on Twitter, at YYC Oktoberfest. Use the K. Goes without saying. Online, AlbertaBeerFestivals.com. I had said, now Friday, the 26th and 27th of September. So on the 26th, 4 till 10.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 27th, 2 till 9. I said, geez, 9 o'clock, it's kind of early to wrap things up. He said, yeah, but it starts at 2. If you can't accomplish what you need to do from 2 till 9, I don't know what kind of festival is gonna. So you got to get a babysitter, book your day off, mm-hmm. because this is not an evening event. You're not going golfing and then going to Oktoberfest. This is your day, right?
This is a full day event.
Yeah, you can fit it all in. You can get some brunch down there.
Have a shower, preferably.
Yeah.
Get dressed up and then head down to Oktoberfest for around 2 o'clock.
And definitely dress up. We would love to see everybody in their
German garb.
German garb.
Right,
yeah. We love to see girls in the dirndls, and
I do too. Yeah. Very much approve that.
Yeah, and gentlemen in the Lederhosen. And you can get the costumes at Halloween Alley. They have quite a few there.
Sure.
So that's a great opportunity for people to go out and get the costumes.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know that I have
Lederhosen.
Any Lederhosen kicking around.
So they're quite comfy.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Stylish,
oh, yeah.
too.
Very breezy.
You
can
would
show
know.
Off the leg.
Yeah.
And suspenders, no belt. So if you fill up on them, that's fine.
Well, that's
yeah, stretchy. Yeah. They'll stretch.
Yeah.
A little expansive.
It's really kind of built for
beer.
Me.
Yeah.
Expansive and nothing, you know, the gut isn't going to push your pants down.
Right.
The more beer you have. It's very well thought out. Oktoberfest at the BMO Center, halls A and B over at Stampede Park, 26th and 27th. The music is the key thing, right? You can have the real food and legitimate beer and be dressed, you know, accordingly. But unless you've got the music, it's not really Oktoberfest. And I'm guessing it's just going to be pumping nonstop all the time.
Heck yeah.
Yes, definitely.
German, the German Knights Band. I believe you guys were hearing them earlier.
They
were all around the building. They were seeping through the walls.
Uh-huh.
We could hear them coming through the floor upstairs. They were out on the sidewalk, just not in here. We're a little disappointed, but you know, I guess
you'll have to
year.
Come down and see them this
the
weekend then.
The soundtrack of the beer fest.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for a while, right? This is a legitimate...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
these
definitely.
Guys, this is what they do. This is very cool.
Traditional stuff.
So what's the average if we're going to go to Oktoberfest? Just so I can bank.
How many beers?
How many beers am I going to? am I going to, you know?
I suppose that depends how big your lederhosen.
Yeah. Because you got to plan ahead, right? You got to prepare for this. Is this going to be, is this a 6 to 8? Is this good? It's a
well,
long
you got
time.
The samples,
it's
right? So you got to count differently.
It's
too.
A lot of beers. I mean, have you looked on the website?
Thousands.
There's
hundreds of millions.
There's a lot here, and I need to give a special shout out to our boys at Tool Shed.
Mm-hmm.
That we mentioned Tool Shed on location. They flipped out. They couldn't believe that we
really?
Said. Yeah, they're absolutely loving it. So go and see the boys from Tool Shed when you're at Oktoberfest.
There's a bunch of good local breweries that have popped up. It sort of felt like maybe 5-10 years ago there was Big Rock and not a lot of their other micros. So have you guys noticed the what's changed here? All of a sudden, there's a ton of guys in town making beer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well, that's all part of Oktoberfest as well as creating that craft beer culture. And definitely within Calgary, there's been a lot of local stuff happening. Last Best, Village, well, Big Rock and Wild Rose, kind of the big guys on the block. So, and then you could go and get a lot more of kind of stuff you would never hear of as well, which is pretty sweet.
The German stuff's unreal, boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got to get the Weissbier.
Yeah.
The Dunkel Weissbier.
I'm just intrigued by these lederhosen. People are texting in. They're wondering if I can get my calves through the lederhosen. I'm thinking
that
probably for the large calved gentleman, the lederhosen would be ideal, right?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
I got to do more homework
on this. You'd fit right in on this, I'm telling you.
One more shout out for the where we can find the authentic gear, the Halloween place.
Yeah, you can find it at Halloween Alley.
Halloween Alley.
Yeah.
Because you're not Oktoberfesting unless you're in the proper garb.
Unless you're showing some game.
No.
That's right.
And we will also have prizes for best costume,
nice,
too. So
nice.
There
you go. September 26th and 27th, BMO Center Halls A and B, Stampede Park. The thing is, once they're at capacity, no more people are getting in. So make sure you get there, get your tickets ahead of time, and do it. Friday from 4 till 10, Saturday from 2 until 9. Tickets available online, albertabeerfestivals.com. They are on Twitter, at YYC Oktoberfest or Calgary Oktoberfest. On Facebook. We got it covered?
Right. Yeah.
All
yeah.
right.
Every point hit.
Just no Oompa band, sadly. Thanks, guys. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so
us.
Much.
You bet. 836, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Monday morning, 8:42. It is Boomer in the Morning. Warrant. Cherry Pie.
Yeah, I know this one.
You know what they're getting at there?
It's kind of an idea.
To play on words.
So that I can talk about it on
kind of a
radio.
Kind of a thing. We'll hear from, we actually got a call, I think, coming in from Denver a little bit later on this segment.
Bit of news over the weekend there.
Yeah, change.
Quiet, though.
Change apparently near the top with the Avalanche. We'll hear about that. What you want to talk about coming up tonight, Monday Night Football for you.
I'll be at Shanks North, friend, and we'll have Patty at Shanks South.
There you go. Bears. Jets.
Ah, Bears.
We get it going for you just after 6 p.m.
I don't know what to make of the Bears. They played one good quarter of football, and they're 1-1.
Yeah, they came back.
They went away from tying for the division lead.
The amazing comeback a week ago.
As a Sunday nighter, of course.
Yeah. What do you make of the Jets?
They could stop the run.
They could have tied that football game a week ago
if
one of the coaches hadn't called a timeout before they threw the game-tying touchdown.
And it was a coordinator who's not actually allowed to call the timeout. Rex Ryan did not call the timeout.
Was it Marty Morningwig?
I believe it is. It was, yes, Marty.
Marty Morningwig.
So they have that game-tying touchdown called back, and for a team everyone thought was going to be garbage, that's how close they were to 2-0.
That's how close they were to 2-0.
Host right the Bears there. Tonight. Yeah.
The show is going to be coming to you live from Sylvan Lake Wednesday morning. It is the home site for Kraft Hockeyville. Lots of things going on in Sylvan Lake. It started this weekend. It's continuing all through. It's like it's a big fiesta up in Sylvan Lake.
Which is good to see, given what they went through with the rink.
The old barn.
We heard about the Sutter Fun Golf Tournament. They made a big donation to the rink And now to see Hockeyville show up there.
Yeah.
Us Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
Sports, taking care of sports. I love it.
So Wednesday, which is just right around the corner, it'll be the Flames and the Arizona Coyotes live from Sylvan Lake. We'll have it for you. And we'll be doing our shows. We're all over it that day. As we're live on the road in Sylvan, Wednesday morning from the Hockey Central Lounge. The big show will enjoy the cozy comfort of the arena later that day and get ready for the game.
We'll be warmer, but they'll be closer to the action.
We'll be from a pub. A pub.
At apparently. 6 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, if I know Sylvan, they'll come out and greet us.
Good, good.
It's a good town.
Can't wait.
NFL Survivor Pool. Whoa. I know that the three of us, myself, and because, of course, Jay's been out since week one.
Oh, Jay, are you in this, Jay?
Jay's been...
Oh, no, he's in for 1 week, and then he...
Since
New Orleans that got him?
I think he took...
Chicago.
I think he took
Chicago.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Chicago.
He's been out for some time.
Shut up.
Okay. Off mic. Like it. The week three, you took Indianapolis.
I did. On the road in Jacksonville, a horrible football team.
At my urging, I told you you were fine.
Yeah, you said at ease, son, at ease. They will not lose three in a row.
They cannot go 0-3.
You were right. Andrew Luck was awesome.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns, 1,000 million yards.
Jacksonville's so bad.
Yeah, and they crushed Jacksonville.
It was terrible.
Wasn't even close. A lot of people in New England, I believe about 60% of the Survivor field, not ours, but the grand view, and they were... Oakland was right there to the end.
Well, I took New England.
Yeah.
And I was just about set to soil myself.
Sweaty palms all afternoon, I bet.
Because they were junk. You know what? New England is...
They're not bad.
They are nothing special at all. Tom Brady has looked very average.
He's got no one to throw to.
Yeah.
You got Gronk for half the snaps. Edelman, who's kind of the slot guy. And these wideouts are doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
Amendola's a non-issue.
He's a possession guy at best. Yeah. Doesn't ever score touchdowns. And... they've got Dobson and Tompkins, these two young guys. Can't do anything.
Yeah.
Useless.
So I took New England.
Even Brandon LaFell hasn't done anything.
And they narrowly beat the Oakland Raiders.
13-7.
Yeah. And the Raiders had a chance to tie that thing.
Many chances.
Will Fork with the big, the late interception. So I'm alive. You're alive. And I couldn't remember who Warner took.
Well, and if you're a little confused, it's probably because Rhett took two different teams in each Survivor League.
Oh, for God.
Which is what he told him not to do. But Rhett's going to Rhett. We know that.
What did he do?
So, make it a double, took the New York Giants against Houston, which is a
no, there's
huge
no way,
gamble.
There's no way he did that on purpose. Because who did he say
he
on
talked
Friday?
About it, and then he took New Orleans and the other one.
No, I'm sure he talked about New Orleans. We would have flipped our lid if he'd have taken the Giants. The Giants were terrible through 2 weeks.
They're 0-2, and they're facing a 2-0 Houston club.
Leading the league in turnovers against the defense of the Texans, we would have gone crazy. So I'm sure he took New Orleans and then, of course, goes into the one pool and mistakenly, Dopey puts in the New York Giants. And, of course, the Giants come up with a win.
And then he took New Orleans and the other. So he violated the code where we're supposed to pick the same teams in both pools. And I tell you what, we got men left. The boys are gone. We've got 30 left in the second league, 32 left in the first league. These are down from fields of 100.
Yeah.
So there's a third left. And we only lost three guys combined in the two leagues this week. So I don't know if you have any somber music, but we have to say goodbye to three teams.
Yeah, well, we got
to
say goodbye to some people for sure. I'd almost rather give credit to who's left.
Okay.
I would almost like to say to Off the Glass and Out, congratulations.
Well done, Off the Glass and Out.
Pickle Fest, One Tea Clappers, Roasted Red Peppers, still there. Tiplify, still alive.
Smokes and No Belt, hanging around.
Who the hell cares, still there. One of the an exploded bag of garbage teams. Still alive.
Good to see.
An exploded bag of garbage.
I live in my sister's basement, going strong through 3 weeks.
I'd say much longer than 3 weeks, depending on what we're talking about.
Yeah. So that's the first one that we did. The second of the pools, the Rhett's Best Bets number two, Nacho Cheesehead, still there.
That's inspiring. It's good to see. Pinder Loves the Dudes is going strong.
And, of course, Robbie Douglas.
Robbie Douglas!
Robbie Douglas.
Hang it in there! Why would I pass? I'm better than all of you.
You know what? I would like to win, but I'm almost rooting more for Robbie Douglas. Because whoever pulled that one out, and this will mean nothing to a lot of you, but that's exactly why.
And Strathvegas Superstar is in. Don't be confused. That is not Jason DeForest.
No.
He just vacations in Strathmore. He is the Strathvegas Superstar.
Yeah. So So that's the scoop there for the remainder. And again, a big boo to all of you that were in for mushroom toast. You know what?
Mushroom toast.
I'm
what are you doing?
I'm so let down. You didn't even pick a team. You didn't even enter a team, and you've been eliminated.
Also gone Luongo's Legion and didn't make the Cutler. See ya, boys. Luongo's Legion, dreadful pick. Houston. I mean, I suppose it's not as bad as we thought.
It was a bit of a risky one for sure. So, still alive.
No Arian Foster.
Yeah. NFL, obviously, the game of the day, the Broncos and Seahawks. Late charge to tie it and get the two-point conversion for Manning and the Broncos. And Marshawn Lynch does it again.
Yeah. Beast mode. They're good. I'm very, very curious to see how the NFC West shakes out. This has been the best division of football for a few years. Of course, you got the Niners and the Seahawks, the old guard. But quietly, the Arizona Cardinals are now 3-0. They're leading the division. And they've got two wins without their number one quarterback.
Yeah.
They play great defense, and they run the ball effectively. And that's kind of the recipe you see for teams that hang around late in the season and play postseason football. Run the ball with success, good defense.
And they've been good for a while now.
They have.
You
they've
go back
narrowly
to last year.
Missed out last year.
Yeah, you go back to last season. They had a strong finish. They beat Seattle. They've now beaten San Francisco.
In Seattle.
Yeah.
Which I think they're the only team last 2 years to do that.
Drew Stanton in for the injured Carson Palmer yesterday, 18 of 33, 244, a pair of touchdowns, was not sacked, was not picked, kept it clean, and a pair of touchdown passes to John Brown.
Sure. So if it's not Michael Floyd or Larry Fitzgerald, sure, John Brown.
John Brown, with a pair of catches, gets it done for them. So the Cardinals, 3-0.
One of three teams. The other two, Cincinnati, who we heard a lot about with Jason Lacanfora earlier this morning. We'll hear that conversation, I believe, possibly later today, maybe not. As they get it done with defense. They've been great at home for a few years, but they've sort of rebuilt that offense around the run. They're not going to let Andy Dalton, they're not going to live and die by that sword, so to speak. They're going to let him manage a little more. And the other undefeated team is probably the biggest shock of the bunch. Philadelphia was down 17-0 in week one. They looked like they were going to get smoked in the Monday Nighter last week before they pulled it out of the bag against Indianapolis. And they were down 10 yesterday to Washington. They're the only 3-0 team in NFL history that's been down 10 points in each of their first three games of the year and won them all.
So this is Philly you're talking about.
And they get it done differently each week. It was the running game on Monday night against Indy. LeSean McCoy, I think, had 20 carries for 22 yards yesterday. Nothing on the ground, so it was Nick Foles in the air that got it done. This is a team that offensively has a lot of weapons, and they're showing they can win different ways.
Yeah. Macklin with the fourth quarter touchdown after he makes an unbelievable catch on the sideline to advance the ball, and then the 27-yarder from Foles to essentially win it. Late touchdown by Roy Hillou.
Hello.
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 But
he might get the ball now that Shanahan's out of town.
Macklin, 154 yards. And the touchdown. Stampeders, we'll talk. Are we going to talk? What, Rash? What
are we Should we do a Rash or Jason Lacanfora? What do you think, Jay?
Great.
I feel like week three, maybe we go back to Lacanfora.
The Stampeders yesterday, tough one, as they go into Montreal and lose 31-15. The most sound beating of the season. There's only been two of them, but they're just out of sorts. And I guess we shouldn't be stunned as we sit here and say, well, they did not have John Cornish. They did not have Marque McDaniel, who, say what you will, has been their best receiver. They did not have Bo Levi Mitchell. Drew Tate, hey, very good quarterback, but has not played in a long time, and are without Charleston Hughes, are without any number of other guys from the defensive line. They were banged up. And then went into Montreal and played an Alouettes team that played, got to be one of it. I've not watched every Alouettes game. I won't lie to you. But Jonathan Crompton, I don't think he's looked better this season. And the team as a whole was ready for Calgary.
They put up 13 points in the fourth quarter to really pull away in this contest. It was close after three quarters. But it's to the point with on the injury front where you just have to say, give this team time. We know they're good. They're missing a lot of impact players, a lot of first-team All-Stars, a lot of MOP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Top Canadian of the Year type of candidates in the CFL. It's just, you wonder who's got the voodoo doll. It's been three seasons now where no one's healthy, it feels like. 2 years in a row, they named Drew Tate the starter, can't stay healthy. We saw Nick Lewis get injured last year. The O-line last year takes a huge blow late in the season. I mean, it's you wonder when the luck's going to change, but it feels like they're the most injured team in the CFL the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So they get back on the horse and they'll take on the BC Lions this week. And we'll sit and this will be an interesting week. What's up with Cornish? Where's Bo Levi Mitchell at? What's the status of Charleston Hughes, among others? And I guess the other part of it is you're 10-2. Why rush anybody in? Because Saskatchewan comes up with a huge come from behind win. You're going to make the playoffs, and if you always want the bye and you want home field and all of that. But if you don't have your best players, if rushing somebody back in this coming week potentially puts the playoffs in jeopardy, or not so much a playoff berth, but your playoff hopes or likelihood, then what's it worth? To me, it's more about what's up with Cornish.
And remember that Saskatchewan does have Edmonton next week. You would think Tino
on Cornish. Is this concussion related or is this something else? And we probably won't find out the truth about it. But if it's concussion related and they'll say it's not and we're being told it's not, and I guess what can you do but believe what you're being told? But if it isn't, then that's major, major trouble, quite frankly. Because, Matt Walter, nice guy, but it's a different offense,
no,
obviously.
That's absolutely right, yeah. They've looked entirely different. And we thought that John Cornish should be your rushing leader in the CFL by this point today. Hasn't worked out that way. We'll see.
We'll get into some football talk of some sort. Elliot Friedman coming up. What you want to talk about? We'll talk about some changes in Colorado. We found out quietly over the weekend that Joe Sakic is now the general manager. If you go to the Avalanche website, there it is, Joe Sakic, the general manager, among the other titles that he has. And Greg Sherman, who has been the general manager for a while, apparently no longer. We've got the phone call. Do we have? I think we got it. And the, I guess, former GM of the Colorado Avalanche, Greg Sherman. Hello, Greg.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from my personal telephone this morning. It seems as though my company provided telephone line is out of service. I'm not sure.
You're right. Okay. It was announced over the weekend, Joe Sakic, the new general manager. So I'm kind of curious because I thought you were.
Well, I don't think that could be the case. I've certainly received no correspondence from either Mr. Sakic or Mr. Roy about any such restructuring or corporate shuffling. And a few weeks ago, my office was relocated downstairs.
Downstairs?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Do you think that's a bad sign?
No. I was told they were replacing some pipes, some corrosion of some sort, going to be a lengthy process. I've got a makeshift desk, a nice milk crate to sit on, a decent setup, really.
Well, they had a big announcement at the rink the other day. Were you not invited?
Well, they did send me out to grab some muffins and some assorted pastries, and I did notice upon returning that my key fob was no longer working on the front entrance. I just assume it's a glitch of some sort.
Yeah, I'm sure. Glitch. So as GM, then, of course, you would have to give us your thoughts, then, on your signing of Jerome Iginla.
Well, I don't know who that is. You might want to do some fact-checking on that. I assure you, if this Imigla character was indeed signed, it would have had to have gone through me. Of course, the proper channel.
Yeah, okay, Greg, it sounds like you've got some things to iron out. We'll let you go.
Yes, if fine, I probably should do some, I guess, some inquiring of some sort. I'm so sick of this shit.
Oh, what's that?
Nothing.
So I'm frustrated, Greg Sherman, who was the general manager, and then even while with the title, it seemed like he wasn't doing
frustration.
A lot of the calls.
Pastry sounded good though.
Even though Jerome Iginla. We'll take a break. Coming back with our NFL insider Jason Lacanfora for Shanks Sports. You'll be at Shanks, and Pat will be at Shanks. Give me the details.
I'll be north. Pat will be south. Great prizes as always. As specials on Bud Light, Bud bottles, the $4.95. Chicken thingies. Oh, yeah. Wings cheap tonight as well. And we got Bears Jets. Should be good.
Bears.
Bears. The Jets. Bears.
Sports at 960, The Fan.